There's a lot of talk of love in Deuteronomy that we don't hear before. It has a different scribe who wrote down these teachings. Moses is talking to this generation about to enter the promised land. We have different metaphors sometimes, different language, sometimes different concerns. Often, they upset me. It is in Deuteronomy that Moses or God or the Deuteronomist, however you want to call it, takes away some of the laws of respect for animals that we found crucial in Leviticus, and that makes me sad. Because the Deuteronomist is this book, which itself at one point was the Torah in the temple, according to scholars, when the books were separated, let's say, and you had Leviticus as a scroll kept by the priesthood, and you had the Deuteronomy as a scroll kept by others. At one point, this was what we had of the Torah. And we had all the repetition of what had come before, so it had what you needed. But it's a balance between, for me, disappointing accommodation to real life. For example, Leviticus says, in the example I used, the only way you could ever take the life of an animal would be in the temple in front of God and having that meat given to the poor and shared with the Levites and the homeless and having every bit of that animal used up in what sounds like a Navajo practice or some American Indian thing, that everything has to be shared, and it's this beautiful thing. And then in Deuteronomy, Moses says, you know what? You can't live that way. No one's going to travel 60 miles, 100 miles to slaughter their goat. So you know what? You can do it basically. You can have shechita. You can slaughter your own goats, do whatever you want. And so there is the... Because how are you going to live with the ideal of Leviticus? So sometimes the Deuteronomist is like, we're going to have to live in this land and really have a country, and there are going to be accommodations. And sometimes, to me, that takes away from the Torah. But then it's balanced by this whole other concern of this book, which is love. You get so much talk about love. So what did we get last week? We got the V'ahavta. We got you should love the Lord your God yourself. V'ahavta. We had previously in the Torah that you should love your neighbor, re'ach. You should love your re'ah as yourself, re'ah kamocha. But it's in Deuteronomy that we get in this parasha that you have to love the ger. You have to love the non-Jew. Later in rabbinic literature, this becomes the convert. But let's just say here we have the non-Jew who lives in your territories, but who is not an Ezrach, who is not a citizen. And you have to love them as yourself because you were strangers. You were gerim in the land of Egypt. And we also get in Deuteronomy the love that you must show to the widow and to the orphan and to the laborer, especially. And so there's a lot of talk here of love. So my question to you is, if you turn to page 1052, and this is familiar to you because Rafi brought it up. He's like, we all know this. And you probably know, many of you will know what my question is. I'm asking a question about your own spirituality, your own understanding of Torah. So when you get to now all of this love talk, and we've had it at the beginning of chapter 11, as Rafi read, V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha v'shamarta, that don't forget, love the Lord your God. We have love the ger, love the resident alien, the foreigner who lives among you. And here we have, starting at verse 13, we have the second paragraph of the V'ahavta that we pray twice a day or more, depending. But twice a day. Verse 13. V'haya et shemoa tishmu el mitzvotai asher anochi mitzave etchem hayom li'ahava et Adonai Eloichem ulavdo b'chol levavchem uv'chol nafshechem. So this is what we're all doing under our breath as we go silent whenever we're doing the Shema. David has recommended before we should do it out loud more, and I think it's a fantastic idea. No, because it's like there's no reason we have to do it silently. And it goes on. So if then you obey the commandments that I enjoin upon you this day, loving, a lot of love, loving Adonai your God, serving God with all your heart and all your soul, I'll grant rain for your land in its season, the right rain at the right time, and you will have a bountiful harvest. And be careful that if you don't, because then the land won't yield its produce. Rafi did that in a whisper. It's customary when you read possible tragic consequences in Torah, the curses, that you do them in a whisper, and that's why Rafi did them there. And then it says, therefore impress my words upon your very heart, and so on and so forth. So my question to you is simple, which is, that paragraph is in the plural. It is a commandment, let me see if I get it right, I don't want to make a mistake here. Loving the Lord your God. Okay, so it's for... So that the ahava in verse 13, you know, if it will be that you actually, if you shamoa tishma'u, means if you super duper really, if you super duper really hearken or listen, and then it's in the plural. If y'all really, really, really listen to the commandments and hearken unto them, that I am commanding etchem, in the plural, that I'm commanding y'all, hayom, on this day, li'ahava, I'm commanding y'all to love Adonai, Eloheichem, all of your God, the God of all of y'all. I've never spent any time in the South, so forgive me for my y'all mistakes. To serve God with all of y'all's hearts and all of your all's spirits. Lives. So it's special in a way because it's all in the plural. So my question to you, you've got the V'ahavta in the singular. V'ahavta, so V'ahavta is you individually should love God. Why do we need this? What makes this different? You can read the you can read the sentences at the bottom of the Eitz Chaim, but why do we now have an unusual commandment that's it's all in the y'alls? It's all in the plural. You all this. You all should love. And there's a special way. What does this bring different? What does it bring special? When we pray it every day, what are you thinking? That we have to have a commandment to love in the plural, and you can look at what it's talking about. What does it try to say to us? What does it add to our spirituality, our theology, or our sense of what it means to love? What does it add to our consciousness? Does anybody want to... All Israel is one. All Israelites are part of one thing. We are all Jews, and we are all part of one Jewish people. So we're addressed as y'all, but it's also singular, but it's that remembrance of community. Anybody else? That loving with the community. If there's anything we've learned from this election, it is that we've had it with institutions in our society. When people get together in groups to form institutions, we're skeptical. We're giving up on the public education system. Those darn teachers who are bad get protected by their unions, and a lot of that's true. So, had it with public education. I've had it with the government. It's gridlocked. They don't even legislate anymore. We're lucky if they can even manage to put up a stop sign, let alone pass a budget. So what, you know, we give up on the government. Certainly people would give up on organized religion. Organized religion, religion's just a way of controlling people and brainwashing people, and better that we all have our individual spiritualities. The problem is that we are unavoidably in community. And the action that really counts is collective action. So what, we're all going to educate our kids at home, never send them to school. We're going to somehow pretend we can live without a government. We're going to somehow pretend that we can have personal spirituality and we can accomplish profound things with yoga instead of profound things with actual institutions that have walls and people who are exerting collective action. And so God says here, the one thing that's different is, yes, God says via Hafta, you have to have your own personal relationship with God, your own personal love. You show it in your family. You show it with your friends. But then there's this other dimension, which is you're not going to accomplish changing the world with just you. So God says, if you don't love God collectively, y'all, then what's going to happen? Terrible things. There's not going to be rain. There's not going to be produce. That's where there are consequences. It doesn't say, if you don't love God as an individual, there'll be terrible things will happen to you. We don't get that in the Torah. But we do get, if you don't figure out a way to love God collectively, terrible things really will happen. And we kind of know that. I mean, we kind of know that, you know, it's really nice to, for any of us, for me, to have a personal spirituality. I don't know. I drive my electric car, whatever your cause is. You know, I drive my electric car and I power it with sunlight, or your cause is something else. But the truth is that I know my solar panels and electric car aren't going to change society. You know, we need a government, and we need regulations, and we need laws, and we need courts, and we need an EPA, and we need some kind of collective policy that we can all get behind. The United States has been going in the direction of energy independence from the Arab countries for years, and that only happened through collective action. You know what I mean? It didn't happen just because some people said, I eat organic, right? And so, yes, we have our personal actions and the personal things we care about. But we have to understand that we actually only accomplish things as institutions if we really want to make change. And what the Torah is always telling us is, fix your institution, right? Institutions can be fixed. We don't have blind faith in the Pope telling us what to do or something like that. We have institutions where we are part of that community, and we are an equal part. Kol Echad. You know, we're all part of that oneness. It's not like we just follow the king. So I think that every time I pray that, I think, yes, my own personal shalom and my own personal values and my passions, many of which come from Judaism, God's commanding me to have that love. But God's also about to look down on us on Kol Nidre and Yom Kippur and look at us collectively. And say, what have you accomplished, Jewish people? What have you accomplished, America? Where you're, you know, God's not saying, Naomi, what did you accomplish this year? Right? That's for us to work out between us and our fellow man, and to work out in us in our own via hafta, in our own relationship with God. But ultimately, we stand together as community because God's saying right here that we only really make change when we can make that change collectively and have the faith in the community that that's possible, and that we play an important part in doing so. When I grew up, every time my congregation, we prayed Oseh Shalom, or the prayers for peace, everybody knew what it meant. Cold War's got to end. Nuclear weapons have to get control. We got to feed people in Africa. We got to stop racism and continue civil rights. We knew what Shalom meant. It meant peace in our society. I think today, for the last number of years, when I go to communities and read Divrei Torah and I see what people are saying, and myself included, shalom is my own personal peace, my own personal alleviation of that center that I need inside. Yes, that's important. That's the first via hafta. Find your place of peace with God. But you can't forget the second via hafta, which is God's looking down to see if we've accomplished peace on earth. Amen. Shabbat shalom.